Hello and welcome to the 2022 podcast for the Eppendorf Award for Young European Investigators. I'm your host for this year, Adam Levy. After 2 years of holding the awards virtually, this year's ceremony was a hybrid event. An audience gathered at the European Molecular Biology Laboratory in Heidelberg in Germany, while others were able to watch online. I joined the in-person proceedings, where the winner and two runners-up were announced and given the opportunity to present their research.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my great pleasure to present to you Kelly Nguyen, winner of the 2022 Eppendorf Young Investigator Prize. I think we all very much look forward to her talk. Thank you.
This year's winner, Kelly Nguyen, was chosen for her pioneering work on the structure and function of two RNA protein complexes essential for all higher organisms. These are the spliceosome and telomerase. I caught up with Kelly during the day to ask her about her groundbreaking research. Now, firstly, congratulations. How does it actually feel today to be receiving this award?
I'm feeling extremely honored and very humbled to be named this year award winner. And I'm very excited about, you know, the future that's really giving my lab recognition. And I'm very excited about all the future science we're going to do.
Well, let's actually talk about what that work involves. And before we get to what you specifically do, I suppose we should set the scene a little bit. And your work connects to telomeres. Can you explain what these are, why they're important?
In the cells, you know, you have the DNA that give out information that instruct the cells what to do. And in order to pack them into the cells, they need to be condensed into structures that we call chromosomes. And telomeres are located at the very ends of the chromosomes.
Now, your work is actually specifically on an enzyme called telomerase. And as the name suggests, it's related to telomeres. But what's it actually doing to do with these ends of our chromosomes?
One of the problems with the ends of our chromosome is that they cannot be fully copied every time the DNA replicates. So due to that, they get shorter over time. And what telomerase does is to compensate for this shortening of the telomeres and therefore maintain them at a stable length.
Now, this is what telomerase does when everything's working well, when everything's healthy. But it's also implicated in a lot of disease, right? Can you explain how that works?
Yeah, there's multiple ways that telomerase is related to diseases. One of them is that if we have mutations that compromise telomerase function, it leads to a number of premature aging diseases. On the other hand, most of the cells in our body do not have much telomerase at all, whereas cancers, for example, activate telomerase in order to immortalize. So that's where two ways of telomerase come in terms of human diseases.
Now, because of the importance of this enzyme, it's really important that we understand what it looks like, and that's actually what your work involves. Can you explain maybe first and foremost why that is a challenge using, I suppose, more conventional techniques?
One of the main challenges with studying telomerase is that it's one of the rarest enzymes in the cell. So then being able to, you know, make sufficient amount in order to image it is one of the biggest bottlenecks that we had to encounter. Conventional techniques to study structures, including X-ray crystallography and NMR, for example, require tens of thousands of folds more enzyme than we can produce. So therefore, they have been out of the question using these techniques for a very long time.
Can you explain then what the approach you use to try and investigate telomerase is?
One of the ways that we use to make telomerase is that we kind of hijack the cells. We make the cells assemble the enzyme in the cell, but we also at the same time identify the limiting factors and we kind of boost the levels of these limiting factors and therefore that allow us to make this enzyme in still not quite high quantity but sufficient quantity for imaging.
Now that's how you actually get enough of this enzyme to have a good look at it. But what's the technique you use to actually look at it?
We use a technique that is called cryo-electron microscopy. And the core of this technique is a machine that we call electron microscope. So you can imagine it's a microscope like we use to look at magnified things. In this case, we use it to magnify our molecules. And the way we do that is that we put the molecule under cryo conditions, so it's very cold, and they're frozen in this layer of ice on a sample that we call electron microscopy grids. And then we then magnify them under the electron microscope and collect hundreds and thousands of these images of these magnified views of our molecule. And then eventually we take these images and reconstruct a three-dimensional structure from these images.
Well, you explain it very straightforwardly as a kind of step-by-step process, but can you give a sense of why it's not so straightforward to actually carry out this cryo-EM to study the telomerase?
So one of the main problems with studying structures like telomerase is they are also very flexible. And when you want to take a snapshot of it and it's flexible, then it's very difficult to get that snapshot. So that's one of the powerful things we can do with EM is that we take hundreds and thousands of these images and we're able to sort out these heterogeneity within our sample in order to get the final structure that we showed.
Now, I understand that where we currently are, EMBL in Heidelberg in Germany actually has some significance for how you got to where you are now in your career. Can you explain the geographical significance of this location?
EMBL has been one of the birthplaces of cryo-electron microscopy, one of the Nobel Prize winners, one of the three, started at EMBL as a group leader, and he developed methods to make the sample that we image for EM. And I myself came here as a student back in 2014. So they run a lot of courses here, and one of them is in cryo-electron microscopy. And I was one of the students in the 2014 class.
So then, using this technique, how much detail are you able to look at telomerase in?
We have been doing this in multiple steps, actually. So in 2013, one of the groups were able to image it at the level which is about 3 nanometer in resolution. And then in 2018, we were able to resolve this to about 0.8 nanometer. And then very recently, we kind of pushed it further down to around 0.3 something nanometer. And that is at the level when one can start to build models with atomic details to it.
So has seeing telomerase at this scale revealed any surprises about how the molecule actually works?
Yes, many. So the first thing we were able to do is to answer a lot of, you know, decades of biochemistry and genetics, you know, mutations in all over the molecules. And the second that we also were able to discover, we discovered entirely new components that has never been predicted before, and that's to me one of the very exciting things we're able to find. And the third is being able to address the underlying cause of disease mutations. We're now able to map where they are and why they cause telomerase deficiency.
Can you explain how it feels as a scientist who's been looking at telomerase for a number of years to actually get these images, to suddenly see telomerase in a level of detail that before was just, impossible?
Yes, it was very exciting things, and that's something I feel like as a structural biologist is a privilege, really. And the nice thing about this is that we actually, before we went into lockdown in 2020, we collected the data, so we started analyzing when we were home, and the image emerged when we were in complete lockdown. So that's, to me, it's like, you know, it really keeps me going through the lockdown, and we all could not wait to get back to the lab and get back into it. But it's very exciting.
Now, of course, a part at least of why we'd want to understand this is maybe to be able to treat certain diseases better. With the scales of resolution that you currently have, are we beginning to get to the point where that might be possible?
We are quite close. We're at the point when we can, that gives us what we call atomic structure. We're not at the point when, you know, when we're true atomic levels, but a lot of the times, in order to understand how it works, you don't need to get to that 0.1 nanometer resolution scale, we can still already use this a lot for hopefully rational drug design, for example. We're very close, yeah.
And are you personally working on that, or are you speaking with other academics who are interested and excited about that possibility?
I am speaking to a number of other scientists who are interested in the problem. And what we can provide as a structure biologist is we can provide the tools and the sample to visualize. For example, if a chemist are able to make a new drug that can bind to telomerase or inhibiting it, then we're able to visualize. So we don't do the actual drug design, but we are very actively talking to other scientists on this.
Now, telomerase isn't the only molecule that in your personal work you've used cryo-EM techniques to see in higher detail. There's also the spliceosome, which, as the name maybe suggests, is involving in cutting things up. Is this molecule in any ways connected or in any way similar to telomerase?
Yes, technically they're very similar in multiple ways, even though they are involved in very different biological processes. The spliceosome itself is also, like telomerase, is a very large machine that contains RNA and proteins and many, many proteins. And they're both flexible and they're both very difficult to obtain. So a lot of the things that I learned that get applied to telomerase was from the splicing field itself.
Now you've mentioned that maybe studying more and more of these quite weird molecules could give us some insight into their family tree. How would that actually work?
A lot of these protein RNA complexes have this ancient root from what we call the RNA world. So I think the two of them, even though they might seem quite different, they have a lot of similar connections to these ancient RNA machines. So yeah, studying these different protein RNA complexes, maybe we're able to work our path where these RNA world had evolved and how divergent they have become to do all these tasks in the cells.
When you think about what motivates your work, is it the fundamental scientific understanding? Is it the possibility of tracing this family tree? Is it the medical implications? Or is it some combination, I suppose, of all these possibilities?
I would say that it's a combination of all these possibilities. I'm always excited about experiments, you know, even if they're small, and I always try to design them in a certain ways to learn something, and that's the everyday excitement. But in the big picture, I always think of the end point, you know, what will we learn when we get the structure, and from there, what else we're gonna be able to learn from what we found. So that's something that really keeps me going.
That was Kelly Nguyen, winner of the 2022 Eppendorf Young Investigator Award. Kelly won the award in an extremely competitive field. In fact, the entrants were of such a high standard this year that the panel of judges made the decision to select not just one, but two runners-up for the very first time. One was Lena Pernes of the Max Planck Institute for Biology of Aging, Cologne, Germany. Lena's work examined how mitochondria, the powerhouses of eukaryotic cells, respond to infection by an intracellular pathogen. She presented her work in person in Heidelberg.
My group uses microbial infection as a lens to study mitochondria, essential organelles in our cells that make the energy required for life.
Arnaud Sabé-Pedros of the Center for Genomic Regulation in Barcelona, Spain, was also chosen as runner-up at this year's awards. His research examines the development of diversity during the differentiation of cells and organs in multicellular organisms. Unfortunately, due to COVID, he was not able to attend the event in person, but was nevertheless able to present his work via video link.
We can think of cell type as a fundamental functional unit of multicellular organisms, where they perform not only highly specialized functions, but also complex collective behaviors.
After all the presentations, I caught up with two of this year's judges, President of the European Research Council, Maria Lepton, as well as Reinhard Jahn, the retired director of the Max Planck Institute for Multidisciplinary Sciences. Now, how hard was it to select Kelly as the winner from all the different entrants?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't say it was hard. It was a pleasure. But it was very hard to decide between the three finalists. because they're all truly excellent, truly inspiring, and come from different fields with different reasons. So in that regard, it was hard.
Yeah, I could second that because it is difficult. Each of them has a very different approach to science, works on a different question. It also tells us that this kind of, you know, ranking of, you know, you're number one, you're number two, you're number three, is very often very difficult in science because, I mean, there are strengths, particularly strengths of each of the approaches. And this made in this case, because each of them was really unique, was original, was very creative, and in so far it was really quite difficult to come up with a decision.
Can you maybe compare what the experience judging this year was to previous years?
Look, it's always difficult. We all of us sit on boards and on selection panels. It's always difficult. It's not like measuring a runner. That one is half a second sooner than the next one. In research, it's not like that. So it's always difficult.
And one needs to admit that even in this kind of peer review, there's a subjective component because, I mean, we all have our own scientific backgrounds. There are certain things we like better than others. And fortunately, our jury, and this we always made sure, is diverse enough to compensate for, let's say, personal preferences and so on. And this is why you see that we sometimes, I mean, if you look at the past winners, they came from very diverse fields.
Now, I've spoken to Kelly. She's described her work, what it actually involves. But could you give a sense of, I suppose, how significant it is and how big a breakthrough it actually is within the field?
Well, I mean, these are very fundamental, huge complexes, protein RNA complexes, which perform fundamental function every cell in our body. And that applies to both the spliceosome as well as the telomere structure, the telomerase. I mean, so they are really very fundamental.
And can you give a sense of just how significant it is then to have a visualization of telomerase at such a higher resolution?
Well, everything in life depends on molecules interacting with each other. That's how life functions. And if we really want to understand the mechanisms, then we've got to figure out exactly where these molecules interact, where they touch other molecules with which they interact. So it's essential for the understanding, but of course also if you want to use drugs to muck around with those touching places and stop them from interacting, therefore blocking them or optimizing the interactions, that's what you need.
What's your hope for what this research could potentially lead to in terms of applications?
Well, I'm a basic researcher and I find it much more fun to think about what it does to our understanding. Everything that normally goes right in a functioning body can go wrong and lead to disease. So regardless of what we understand, there may be a way of using that knowledge at a later point for curing a disease or making life of people more comfortable. But for myself, I really find it much more exciting to just see that we now understand something, how something works that we didn't know before.
I might add, I mean, Kelly in her presentation already alluded to the potential pharmacological chances which are coming from the structure of telomerase, because there are a lot of telomerase-related diseases. And as she said, and I completely agree with this, you need to know the structure in detail before you can even think about trying to identify potential targets to develop screens for possible drugs which might interfere. Was one of the other functions of these very complex structures.
Maria Leptin and Reinhard Jahn there. And that's it for the 27th Eppendorf Award for Young European Investigators, won this year by Kelly Nguyen. Thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Adam Levy.